The following worship service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming on Sunday, May 13th, 2018 with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
Church. Greetings, grace, and peace in the name of our Lord, Savior, Jesus, our Christ. Welcome to worship this morning and happy Mother's Day. Let us continue in worship, for today is truly a day that the Lord has blessed. We may not see it right away, but if we look with our heart, led by His Spirit, we'll see it. For truly today, this is the day the Lord has made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Gracious, loving, and merciful God, before you we find ourselves to worship. As we sit among people who share our faith journey, let us remember that you have given us your Spirit and that you are Spirit, and that now we may worship you in spirit and in truth as we lift our voice in song, as we lift our voice in praise, as we share our concerns, joys, the scriptures read and the word proclaimed. Let us truly join our hearts to worship and praise you. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.
First reading is a reading from the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, and then the next reading will be Acts 1, verses 1 through 11, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Acts 1:1-11. In my former book, Theopolis, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So, when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." The word of God for the people of God.
Today is one of those Sundays that's sort of a double dipper. Today it's Mother's Day to celebrate mothers, and also it's Ascension Sunday, which is a significant date in the life of the church. The ascension of Jesus, which is witnessed by two witnesses. If you remember, there are two witnesses at the tomb who say to the women, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen." And if you go back to the transfiguration on the mountain, he's there with two witnesses, Elijah and Moses. And if you go all the way back into the different parts of the Bible, you find that two witnesses meant that it's true. It was verifiable. And these two witnesses' testimony had to agree perfectly together. And then the Jewish people said, "That's it. That's the truth." So it's Ascension Sunday. Jesus goes into heaven, and found here in these few verses of Acts, we find the promise that the church holds true to today. And that is, Christ is alive, Christ is risen, Christ is gone into heaven. We say it in the creed, seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From that he shall come. And the Christian lives in that anticipation of that coming of Christ again. The parousia, for Christ to come. We see it in an eschatological view that it's a future event that's going to happen. It's promised. So in the meantime, we're living by faith and in faith anticipating the coming of Christ. And in our faith tradition, it could be at any time. It could be at any moment. The one time I could tell you when it's probably not going to be is when somebody says it's going to be. Yeah, I think God's up there saying, "I heard that." Pull that one off the calendar, son. Yeah, going back on that day. So, sooner or later, somebody's going to get it right eventually. But Christ is coming. So we hold that in the back of our mind, don't we? It isn't something that you go through every day thinking about, right? It's just not something that's hanging out. So we looked in at Psalm 1. And this psalm talks about, and the word there is blessed in the beginning, but the word is actually better translated as happy. Happy is the person. Blessed is the person means it's something you receive, but it's happy is the person. Happy means not ha ha ha. That's not the happy the Bible's talking. It's about content, satisfied, desirous of no more than what the psalm writer will say, and that is keeping the word of God, holding on to the word of God. That person is happy, and they don't follow after the ways of sinners, and they don't scoff at. How many of you have known negative Neils in your life? If you tell them that you bought a brand new car and you got a good deal, they're going to go, "Really?" Yeah, it don't matter. You can tell them, "I caught a 32-inch rainbow trout down at the gorge." They'll say, "Did you take a picture?" "I don't believe it." "Take a picture?" No picture. Didn't happen. But they're always scoffing at things. They're always finding fault in things. They're always negative about things. We all run into those, don't we? Christians, we shouldn't be that way. We shouldn't scoff at things, and we should not find fault in everything. That's what the world does. So Mother's Day, Pastor, how in the world are you going to connect the ascension of Christ and Psalm 1 and with a word called prayer in your sermon title this morning? Well, hold on and we'll get there. Let's redefine mothers in our cultural and in the world around us today context. I think the term mother was traditionally seen as that person who gave birth. But I think if we're honest and look around, that is still a mother. A mother is the person who gives birth. But a mother has kind of sort of extended itself in our culture and in the world today. But that's not different. You see, a mother is that person who loves and cares for a kid, a child that's growing up. It is that person who sacrifices for that child. It is that person who loves that child, even though it sings off key and it wears, you know, unmatching socks. We had 10, 11 kids back there Wednesday. Four had unmatching socks. Don't let your kid go out of the house with unmatched socks. What if they're in a wreck? And you know, you got to have clean foundations on, right? That's what my granny used to call underwear, by the way, is foundations. Get your clean foundations before you go out. And matching socks, holy smokes. I looked down at the flag. Kathy, did you see it Thursday? A pink and a green. A pink and a green and sandals. It isn't enough that you had to hike them up here to see them. Do like me. Just wear black. Just buy black ones. That's all I buy is black ones. I digress. But a mother is this person who gives of themselves in love and grace, even when it isn't fun, even when it isn't easy. Man, today we need to stop trying to be our child's friend and start being a parent. We need to stop. Buddy might come later. But folks, a parent, the kid is not the equal of a parent, by the way. Oh, really? Yeah, really. How do we connect Psalm 1 and Acts? Follow the Word of God. Break out the instruction book. I've noticed kids don't come with one. They don't need to come with one. God already has it here. It's been preserved and passed on. Here it is. It's printed and ready. Gutenberg made the first one, you know. Got that thing out. Man, that caused problems, didn't it? But anyway, here it is. It's Mother's Day. Loving your child. As a pastor, I'm just going to have a little confession here. Newborn babies are not pretty. That's a fact. They are the wrinkliest, reddest, pinkest, smelliest little hairballs you've ever seen. I'm right, ain't I? But you don't want to admit it, but I will. But a mama looks at that little dirty, nasty, smelly little hairball and says, "Oh, how precious." Do you know what dad's thinking? I need to wash it. It's already crying. This is not going to work out just right, you know. But aren't we, Dad? No, we're counting fingers and toes and things like that. And she's cool, you know. See how Mom looks. See how Mom looks. And you know what? That mom will always see the best in that child. A good mother should, maybe. Always see the best. Not to find all the faults. Yeah, you got to find some. You got to correct some things. But you know our kids do far more good things on a whole than they do bad ones. Even we as Christians mess up, right? But I bet we do a lot more good things than bad. But don't for the death. The devil's going to show up and point out all the bad ones. Yours and that kid's. But happy is the person who learns that the will of God and the law of God is good for us. It liberates us and gives us freedom. And as a parent, mother or father, the greatest thing we can do is pass that on. To see that our kids know God's love and grace and word not as binding, not as arbitrary, but as liberating and freeing. They did an experiment in Rochester, New York. It was a psychological experiment. I don't think it was fair, but they did it anyway. There was a school in Rochester who had this huge playground. And it was there was streets going all the way around the school, you know, typically are. But I'm talking city streets on two sides of this playground. So they had put up this fence. And it had been there for years. And that fence, The grass was worn out around that. You ever seen a playground? It's always that edge of that fence, isn't it? So they decided they'd take it down. Just take the fence down. The traffic had been diverted and things were not as hectic. They took the fence down because somebody decided that the fence was leaving those kids feeling in jail and taking away their freedom and restricting their movements. So I guess it's okay to let them get ran over by a car. You know, so guess what? That trail disappeared along the edge of that fence, and the grass began to grow back. But what they saw then was the grass on the inside of the playground was beginning to be trodden. Well, finally, somebody woke up, and they put the fence back up, and the trail came back. You see, all of us, from the cradle to the grave, thrive and grow knowing there's a limit. Knowing that that limit is there for our good. Knowing that God's law is there to keep us within due bounds with each other and with humanity around us. As mothers, following the Word of God and loving out of that, whether this is your child or maybe you're raising somebody else's, you know that happens a lot in blended families today. They're still kids. And that kid needs love, whether the real parent gives it or not. They need grace. They need support. They need us to step up to the plate. That kid's not choosing it. That kid's a victim of it most of the time. And we as Christians, parents, mothers and fathers, I guess both, need to know that we need to go by this. Does that mean that kid's perfect? Well, according to mom, they usually are. Yeah. Does that mean that we're perfect? Does that mean that there is no sin in the world? How many of you realize there's going to be a day of judgment? It talks about that in here, don't it? Jesus is coming back. What's he going to do? Separate right and left? Well, how many of you figure that that's going to be a bad thing for you? How many of you figure that when you get there and it's your turn in front of the throne, that God's going to play this huge, huge file that he's got on you in super high definition stereo sound about all your mistakes? What do you think? No. They're gone. They are erased by the blood of Jesus Christ. They have been removed as far as the east is from the west. God has forgiven them. Folks, Jesus died for all sins, not some. Not big ones and not little ones, not lefts or rights, but all of the sins. The blood of Jesus is sufficient for everyone. And when we believe in Jesus Christ, we are no longer in sin, according to Paul. But now I got news for you, that other crowd. They might as well get ready for stereo hyphonics and high definition. But I think what they'll see is the times they had to choose Christ and didn't. Jesus has ascended. Jesus is coming. The psalmist is saying to us to plant ourselves by the river of life, that our roots may go into the supply that is from God. And mothers, oh mothers, I can't stand up here and say this morning that my mom was a great mom. I wish I could. But I can tell you about my granny. You see, she was mom. She was the one that loved me. Scared the stuff out of me a few times, too. Granny was always a snake hunter. You got your relatives like that? Well, back east, you have to keep an eye out. You know, out here, you just got these little bitty rattlers with big teeth. And then you've got that, what was that thing that bloated me, Dennis? What'd you call that thing? A puff adder? Something? It was a big old brown snake. But it was a big old thing. It was going, what did it carry? It didn't like me. Remember, you don't remember, do you? But anyway, she was always snake hunting. And she loved to go fishing. But the problem with Granny fishing is she couldn't be still. And you know you got to be still to fish, right? So we're down at the powerhouse, and this is where the spill come out of the dam, and the cool water was in there. Best place in the world to fish in the summertime. But there was snakes in there because all that riffraff and rock and stuff in there. And I got out there, and that big steel hole of water, you know, right under me. And I was fishing, just as fishing as I, and Granny's looking for snakes. I hear one. I don't hear nothing. And all of a sudden, my bobber, boomity, boomity, almost just one more time. And about that time, Granny ain't telling nothing, talk about snakes, I get hit on the back of the leg. Thud. I know I've just been snake bit. I dive right out in that water. I swim out, lost my fish, lost my fishing pole. Granny had thought she'd saw a snake, threw a rock up on the hill at it, and it bounced back off and hit me in the back of the leg. I loved my granny. She's just watching out for me. She tried to keep me safe from snakes. And then somebody was a real jokester. They had killed a rattlesnake. And there was a trail where you went around to get out of the rock pile. He or she had rolled that rattlesnake up just on the other side of a deadfall. So that when you stepped over, the first thing you saw when you put your foot down was a rattlesnake right there at the back of your leg. Let me tell you, my granny tore up stuff. She was 60 years old, 65, when she saw that snake behind that deadfall. I ain't never seen nobody run that fast in my life. I mean, when she got to the truck, she had tore off a toenail. She had lost a shoe. Both of her legs were skinned up. And she said, "We ain't going back down there, Lloyd. I don't care if we catch every fish in the lake." How many of you had somebody like that in your life? Who loved you? Who you knew loved you. You see, that's the love God calls us to have. That's the love the psalmist is talking about. It lets us know peace and contentment, that we can rely on that person's love, that we can rely on that person's grace. That don't mean we don't disagree. That don't mean we can't say that we do disagree, but that love in the end of the day is still there. And that's what the ascension of Christ is about. It lets us pray in the Holy Spirit. For Jesus said, "If I don't go, he won't send. But if I go, he will send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit." And today, Psalm 1 reminds us that God's law will give us contentment. That border, we know that he is there. His promise is secure. And that is sealed at the ascension of Christ. And he sits at the right hand of God to intercede for us, to give us the power to love the kid, whether we gave birth or not, but to love in grace. To have somebody like Granny that you can remember loved you. Carrie's mom prays for angels and always has to be around her kids. Pray. May on this Mother's Day you realize that God's Word is truly a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path that calls us to love with those boundaries of grace and mercy, and that Jesus is coming again. But right now, he intercedes. And when we pray, God hears our prayers. Happy Mother's Day. And God bless. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, thank you so much for the mothers out there that choose to love, care, sacrifice. And Father, for all of us who are called to the same, May we truly choose to walk with you and not the sinners, but to love all people around us, to know that the blood of Christ is sufficient for every sin, that not one of us is perfect, that none of us are capable of throwing the rock, but that we should be able to lift up, to not be scoffers, but to be encouragers. For of all things, that's what Mom does best. Those words, "it'll be all right," are the words God has used through Christ. It'll be all right. Hear our hearts and prayers today, lifted in the name of Jesus our Christ. Amen. May we go in grace and mercy to know that God's law is for us liberating, freeing, saving, and filled with love and hope. And now may God's grace and peace in Christ Jesus go with you, bless you, and keep you. Truly may His countenance shine upon you and through you into the lives of others around you. Go in the peace of Christ. And may the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding be with you and go with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.